This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I'm grateful for taking a break.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that we can come into your house, Lord, and Father, that you have a word for us for this morning, God. And Father, we pray, God, that this word, God, will find good soil, and Lord, that you will increase it and multiply it, God, and that it will accomplish what you have purposed in Jesus' name. Amen. Morning. I'm here. The title of my sermon this morning is House to Home. And if you had to stop somebody in the street and you had to ask them, where's the church? They would direct you, you know, turn left there, turn right there, there's a church, or, you know, they'll ask you, which church are you referring to? When we drive in the street and our kids ask us, what is that? We'll say, that's the church, if we're driving past a church. So in our minds, we actually think of church, if we're honest with ourselves, as a place that we go to, okay? We think of church as that place that I go to on Sunday, or the place that people go on Sunday. But in our mind, it's actually kind of a place. And we often talk about churches like, I like this about that church, or I like that about that church. So we talk about it as something separate from us, a place or a thing. And we think about it as there's a pastor in that church, and different people go there, but it's more like a place. And I think that's something I felt God wants to just shift our minds a little bit today and give us the truth about how he sees the church. Because God envisions something amazing for the church. And I'm going to talk about that today. So the word church is the word ecclesia, which actually means gathering. So church is not a place. Church is a gathering of his children, of God's children. So wherever his children gather, that is the church. So the church is not a building. And we know that. We've all heard the teachings. We know in our head the church is not a building. But do we really know that the church is not a building? Do we really know that the church is actually a gathering of his children? So it's not a place. It's not a pastor. It's a gathering of people who love God. And why is this important? Why is it important to understand that if we continue to think of church as a place, we will not become the church God envisions on the earth today. I'm going to say it again. If we continue to think of church as a place, we will not become the church God envisions on the earth today. A group of people coming together who are the sons and daughters of God. A group of people coming together where Jesus is in their midst. Because Jesus says, we're two or more gathered in my name, there I am. So it's a group of people who are the sons and daughters of God coming together where Jesus is present. Jesus is right there in the middle of them. A group of people who love one another and love God passionately, because those are the two commandments, love each other and love God. So it's a group of people coming together who love God passionately and who really love one another. That is an irresistible church. That should be a place where people can't stay away from. It should be a place that people can't stop talking about. It should be a place where people want to go. Not a place, but a gathering where people want to go. So I'm going to talk today a lot about that because I think there are a few things that are missing if the church is not that yet, if we're not experiencing that yet, there's something that God is envisioning for the church. So our concept of church often trickles down. It even trickles down from the temple. So in the Old Testament, we read a lot about the temple. And people used to go to the temple to hear the message of God. But there would be like a minister, there'd be somebody who would have to interpret the Holy Scriptures to them. They couldn't really understand it for themselves. So people had to go to a place, to the temple, to hear what God is saying and to be able to understand the scriptures and to bring sacrifices. And that was the Old Testament that God, that was the temple. But Jesus said, I've actually changed that. It's no longer that. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he said, I don't want you to come to me through somebody else. I don't want you to come to understand the scriptures through somebody else. So what Jesus did was when he died, the physical, there was in the temple, the actual physical temple, there was a big dividing curtain, very, very thick curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, from the Holy of Holies. And only the priest could go in there. And Jesus said, I don't want that for you. I actually want you to experience my presence. So when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain tore in half. And he said, there's no more separation between you and me. You yourself can come into my presence. You don't need to come through somebody else to my presence. I want to be one with you. I want you to connect with me. I want you to come into my presence. And more than that, he made you and me the temple. So the temple ended. We don't go to a temple anymore. He made you and me the temple. He made you and me the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He poured his Holy Spirit, God himself, into us, into you and me, so that we become the temples. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Isn't that amazing? That you, that temple that people like love, that people adore, that people loved going to, has now become you. In you, God's presence dwells. In you, God's Holy Spirit dwells. So the church is amazing. God has got this picture of the church, and he uses different imagery when he talks about the church. He talks, for example, about the bride. Now, I love the picture of the bride that God talks about when he talks about the church, because the bride is the object of his affection. He loves the bride. Jesus died for this bride that God prepared for his son. So God prepared, he thought of this bride that he's going to give his son. And he thought this, and then Jesus died for his bride. And as he died for his bride, he washed her and he cleansed her and he clothed her with his beautiful white garments. And he says he's still busy washing her with the word. And he says, as he's speaking the word, as he's speaking the truth of us, he's washing us and he's cleansing us. And that's the image of the bride. And then he talks about the church as a body, which we've all heard about, is that Jesus is the head and we are the body. And each of us has a function. You're either a hand or a foot or a heart. You may be hidden away like a heart, which is really, really important. Or you may be a hand, or you may be a foot, which is very, very important. But each of us has a very specific function to make this body, this church, functioning and be the body. So I'm seeing it like an athlete. Jesus just doesn't want a body that's kind of like disjointed, you know, and some of the parts aren't functioning. He really is looking and building an athlete, you know, where every part knows what he's doing, is functioning, and the body can move. And the one I'm going to focus on today, there's a few more, but he talks about the church is a house, okay? And he's talking about the bricks, we're bricks in this house. Now, sometimes, before I get into the house, how do we know that wrong thinking about the church has crept into us? So some of us think completely wrong about the church because you're very new to a kind of a charismatic church. Some of us know all this. We know all this in here. But, you know, just small thinking has crept in, which has caused us to be ineffective as the body. Like, for example, church is not a restaurant, okay? So church is not a place where you pay and get food. And some of us, we don't realize we do that, but we actually just come to church on Sunday to get a meal. But I pay for it. Some of us pay for it. Well, we think we pay for it. So we have this kind of transactional relationship. I kind of have paid so I can eat, you know. And that's not the church. That is not a body. It's not a house. And it's not a bride. Some of us see church as an item on my to-do list, you know. Okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I have to go to church, tick. or I have to fit it into my schedule, you know, because it's something I have to do, is go to church. Some of us feel we have to go to church to appease our conscience. You know, you used to kind of think I have to read the Bible and I have to go to church. We think it's good for our kids, so we come. We come to church because it's good for our kids, and it is good for our kids. But is that why we come to church? It's just small thinking that creeps in that makes the truth of what the church is ineffective. Does that make sense? So there's ways of thinking that we start thinking about the church which dilutes what the church really is. Some of us think, I'm quickly going to church today. I just don't want to speak to anybody. I'm going to run in just after the worship has started. And then as soon as Andre says amen, I'm out, you know. So like it's a place that I go to receive, but I'm not even thinking that it's a place where I have to interact with people. I just don't want to talk to anybody. And sometimes if another way that it creeps into our mind is when we talk about churches, they said that they didn't greet me. You know, so we don't see us as the church. We talk about church as they, or they didn't meet my expectation. And I just felt that some of you are experiencing frustration in your walk with God because you do not realize that you are the temple of God. And you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you're out in the world, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate church and being a Christian and being a temple from your day-to-day life. Church is not a place we go to. If you're a born-again Christian, you're taking that with you wherever you are. We cannot separate it. We are the church. Wherever you go, we are together the temple of God. And when we come together, we're the church. So what God envisions is this house. And we read of that in 1 Peter 2. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I am a living stone. Okay, so don't be offended if God calls you a stone. Jesus says, I am a living stone. Jesus says, I am the living stone, and I form this cornerstone of the church. I'm also the foundation on which this whole church is built. But you are also a living stone. You're not a dead stone. You're a living stone, and you have a place. And who's the one who is building this structure, which is this house of God? Jesus said to Peter, remember when Peter said to him, he said to him, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overtake it. So who's the one building? Who's the, like, the architect, the planner, and the builder of the church? Who builds this local church? Jesus. Jesus is the one who's building this church. And how is he building the church? He's building it with living stones. And the interesting thing about a stone, it's not a brick. Bricks are all exactly the same size. And a brick you can fit in anywhere. But stones are kind of cut, and they have to fit into a specific place. And the architect knows where each little brick has to go. So God has this vision for us as a local church, and he's got a vision for you, and he knows exactly where you fit into that house that he is building. So if we think of the house, so Jesus is now, he's got this plan, this outline, he's got this plan of a house that he's building. What is the purpose of a house? Just practically, what's the purpose of a house, if we think about it? It's where people live. Okay, and a great house is where a family lives. And I think the best house is a home, isn't it? A place where people feel, wow, this is my home. It's not just my holiday house or a place I go to. It's not somebody else's house. It's my home. And what's special about a home is it's a place where you grow. So, for example, my kids come home and they can kick off their shoes and they can be themselves in my home. And sometimes they've had a difficult day at school. Like last week, Janine came and she was really upset because she wasn't invited to a party. And she comes home and she says, you know, I'm really hurt about this. But then we chat to her and she's feeling better again because she gets restored at home. And then tomorrow she goes back to school again, you know. You don't stay in the home. You go out again. But the home is where you're loved and where you're cherished, where you can be yourself, where you can grow. Some of us did not grow up in homes like that. But you can, you know what a home is that you want to grow up in, or a home that you want to create. It's a place where people are loved, a place where they're cherished, a place where they can grow, and a place where people can mature. So if my kids don't make the bed when they're 2 years old, that's fine. But you know, when they get older, I expect them to make the bed. And if they throw a tantrum when they're 3 years old, okay, we can work with it. But if they're still throwing the same tantrums when they're 10 years old, there's a problem. Okay, so a house is also a place, a home is also a place where my children and we as adults actually have to mature. We can't be in our marriage the same way we were 10 years ago or 5 years ago. There has to be growth. There has to be maturity. And a home creates that environment where we can grow and where we can mature. So then let's look more at what God says about his house, which is a home, in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. Okay, as you come to him, let's just read that part again. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Okay, so that's our house. Why? What's the purpose? To be a holy priesthood. Okay. So we are being built into the house to be a holy priesthood. So you and I form part of a holy priesthood, and you are a holy priest, and I am a holy priest, but you are a holy priest. So God is building this house full of holy priests who are functioning priests. So if you think in your head just quickly, what is the first image that comes to mind when you think of a priest? What is the function of a priest? So just think, if you had to go to a church on Sunday or a place on Sunday, what do you think the role of the priest is? What does he do? Okay, so a priest ministers to God and he ministers to people. That's what a priest does. He ministers to God and he ministers to people. So we, as priests, come together on a Sunday to minister to God and to minister to people. How can we be priests? We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got God inside of us, and we are priests. Okay? So when we come together, we have the capacity to be priests. We've got the capacity to be priests to one another and to be priests to God. So how do we do this? Ephesians 4, we carries on talking about the church. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Okay, so God gave each one of us particular gifts. So then it makes sense why God says, when you come together on a Sunday, when you come together in your gatherings, each of you has a word, a psalm, something to bring, because we are given gifts, and each one of us is a gift, and that's why we can minister as priests. So Jesus says he's given each of us and gave gifts to men. Then in verse 11, it goes on and says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So he says, you are all priests, we are all priests. But he's also given particular people functions like apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to speak mainly on Sundays or whatever to minister to the church. Why? Why is Andries here? Why am I speaking today? Our purpose is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, so our work, our job is to equip the priests to function as priests. Does that make sense? To equip the priests to be effective priests and to help the priests to discover their own gifts so that they can function as priests. Okay, so that is the job of the apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Why again? So the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the whole body, all of us, are built up. Okay, so if the priests do not operate, what's going to happen? The whole body isn't being built up the way it should be. Let's carry on reading there. So if I'm a priest, but I come to church with the thinking that Andres is the only priest, what have I done? I've abdicated my priesthood. I've kind of gone back to the temple model where I need somebody else to interpret for me. I've kind of given up my own gift and my own role. So that's why God wants each of us to know I am a priest and I need to function as a priest. And then you carry on reading. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, that's a lot, okay? But it basically says the reason why we are functioning is so that all of us are built up. Like I said earlier in our home, that all of us are becoming mature and growing so that we're no longer infants, because what happens to infants? They hear something here and they go after that, and then they listen to something here and they go after that, and they're all over the show and they're confused all the time. And God says, no, if the body is functioning the way it should be, the infants will grow up. And God comes and he takes a baby Christian and he doesn't just throw him in here. He throws him into a family of priests who can help that baby to grow up, to help that young Christian to become mature. But it's all of us together who create that environment. So it says it's so we're built up, so that we come into unity and we become mature until we all reach the fullness of Christ. I'm just going to read that in the New Living Translation. And he says, and he himself, next verse. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Okay, so each one of us, how do we do it? How do we become priests? We speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that amazing? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So if each little stone finds its place, each of us fits into the right place. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that an amazing church? A whole body who is healthy and growing and full of love, a place where people come into where they can grow and where they can experience God's love. So we are creating in this house. I just felt God saying to me, create a home in my house. Create a home. And what home are we creating? A safe place to grow. A place where you are loved, we are loving people. Create an environment where people are accepted, where they're loved, and where they are growing into maturity. Now, how do we do that? I think the first place to start is to say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a stone. Okay, that I'm a living stone, that I have a particular role to play, that without me, this house is not complete. Without me, this body cannot function. So God, I want to thank you that I am a living stone. Help me, Lord. I make myself available for you to put me into the right place, into your house. Secondly, is to say, Lord, I recognize that I'm a priest. It's not optional. When you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you became a priest. You became part of the priesthood. And say, Lord, show me my gifts. Help me to use my gifts. It's as simple as you know, getting a word for somebody in church. We come to church with a different mindset. We don't come to church just to receive. We come to church knowing I'm a priest. I've got something to give. I've got something, somebody I need to minister to, and I minister to God. Okay, so we come here saying, God, I'm available. You already have it all inside of you. You just don't realize it. It's just changing that mindset where I come to the gathering of believers to be a priest, to have something to give, and to give it to somebody. When Andres and I go to other churches, sometimes it's not because it's our job that we do this. We just sit there. We look out for people who are looking a bit lost, and we'll connect with them, because every single person that God is sending in here is looking for God. And like Andres always says, no one has seen God, but if we love one another, God is seen. You know, people can experience God through love. So we're saying, God, I'm a priest. I have a word for somebody. Maybe you just sit at the back and God shows you somebody and you pray for them through the service. Maybe there's something that God wants to do in that person's life in the service. So pray for them. You've got so many different ways where you can be a gift. I realized a while ago that my gift is encourager. I'm an exhorter. So I used to really struggle doing Bible school because I was like, oh, I can't teach like Andres. He teaches so well. And then God said to me, but you're not a teacher, you're an exhorter. So then I would take the text and I would say, how can I encourage people to do this? You know, how can I encourage people to understand this? So when you start flowing in your gifting, it's easy. But you start recognizing who you are and what God has placed on your life. So the first one is, say, recognize I'm a stone. Jesus built me into a house. Secondly, recognize I'm a priest. Lord, show me my gifts and help me to use my gifts. And the third one is to grow. He says he's building a house of people who are growing into maturity. So we need to constantly grow. How do we do that? It's by ministering to people. So the best place to grow is in a small group, because you can make mistakes. You can be real. People can challenge you. It says speak the truth in love. That's challenging. Because we don't always want to tell people what's really obvious. But if we do it in love, we help people to grow and mature. So join a small group. If there's not a small group that you can join, find three friends. Make a small group. Come and tell Andres, we've started a small group. Think about it. If you're a brick, there's a brick below you, and there's a brick above you, and there's a brick to the left and to the right of you. So who are the people that you're connecting with anyway? Who are those people? Make a small group of those people. Who are the people who've gone a little bit further ahead of you in the faith? Connect with them and connect with somebody who's a bit, you know, newer in the faith than you. And the amazing thing is we learn the most from new Christians, because they're so excited and they're so bubbly. So connect with the people above, below, and to the left and to the right of you. And then come to intercession. If you're struggling because like Lisa, yeah, the fact that we make it for church is like a miracle, because I've got three kids and then, you know, it's like just a mess and then we're here, but just be thankful that at least we're here on a Sunday. That's okay. But what really helps me is I go to intercession before church. Even intercession starts an hour and a half before church, but you can rock up at any time, 20 minutes beforehand. It just helps you to say, Lord, I'm here, I'm focused, I'm praying for the service, use me as a vessel. I'm not just here for myself, I'm actually here as your priest. And then all of us together, we create this home where people can come in from the cold. Ultimately, while we're maturing and we're growing, there are people who've never experienced God. And they're out in the cold. It's like somebody who's in darkness and who's in this winter. And what we should create here is a gathering where if people come in, they're walking into love and warmth for the first time. And that's the home that we're creating. And it's not a home because all of us are the stones of this home. All of us are the priests in this home. And together, we create that environment where God can send lots of people, because we're all ready. We're all focused. We're all welcoming. I expect my kids to welcome people who come into my home. And there's a lot of people who come into our home, so sometimes they're just like, oh, another person. I even have an Airbnb, so there's like lots of foreigners. But I expect them to come up and just welcome people. And that's the same what we're going to do here in this house. We're a home. We welcome people. We look out for people who look a bit lost. And we're creating that home where everybody can grow, be healed, and flourish. Like Psalm 92 says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. And that's what God wants. He wants all of us to be planted in his house, to stay through thick and thin, good weather, bad weather. If you plant it, God will make you green and flourishing all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, that you've placed us in this house, Lord. And Father, if some of us still feel like we come and go, Father, thank you that today, Lord, your word says that you want to make us a home, God, a house, God, where you dwell and where we function as a place where you can send people to us, God, so that they can experience your love and your truth and come into your kingdom, Father. Lord, we want to thank you that you're building us into that house, Lord, that you envision, God. And Father, we just want to make ourselves available, God, where we don't always know what it will mean, God. We just want to thank you, God, that you bought us with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you, God. And so, Father, we pray that you will do what only you can do, God, that you will build this house the way you want it, and that we will become a home together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, as we're going to conclude with one more song, just take a moment just to speak to the Lord, just to respond to his word this morning. Maybe just ask the Lord, what is my role in your house? How can I make your house a home? So there are two things. God, how can I minister to you? And how can I minister to others? So I want you just to take a moment, just in your own heart, while all the eyes are closed, just to speak to the Lord. How can I be part of what you are doing right here among these people that you call church? Lord, how do I belong? How do I play my part to those around me so that you may be glorified? So let's just take a moment and reflect on that. Just in your own heart, just speak to the Lord. Just ask him that question if you don't know. And it's fine if you don't. But ask him. He will show you. He will show you your role and your place. Let's just take a moment and speak to the Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share. Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.